Yeah, that was still real off. It's fine. So, as you can see, I'm recording from a different room in my house this week. Chris had to work today. And it turns out that my coffee table in the living room actually will hold
my boomstick. So you actually get to use it as it was meant to be used.
Yes, today I get the luxury of not having to hold my microphone in my hand. Like that scene in Hamlet with the skull. It's kind of nice. I feel pretty good about it.
Good.
So yeah, Chris isn't home. I get the whole living room to myself. And I was like, you know what? Let's see if it fits on the table. And it does fit on the table. And it's quite snug. And I don't think it's going to fall off. And I'm able to move my microphone around as needed. It's kind of... Oh, God. Jesus.
You spoke too soon.
I didn't quite have it secured as much as I should have. And when I went to lift the microphone a little bit, it was like, oh, hello.
Nope.
All is well now. It's fine. So how was Liz's week?
Well, I'm a sleepy cookie. I didn't sleep for shit last night.
Ooh, but, girl.
Yeah. Which I am like, not to be a baby, but I am an 8 hours of sleep person. If I don't get 8 hours of sleep, I cannot function. I either get 5 hours or I get 8 hours. Anything in between or less than or more than that is not good. No bueno.
So yes, that's probably why we're such good friends, because I am also like, for me, it's between 6 to 8 hours. If I get 6 hours, I'm still okay. But if I get any more than fucking 8 or any less than 6, I'm an absolute monster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like Monday night, it's not even that I slept too long, but I was in the laying position for too long, and I was not a happy camper.
Oh, bless your sweet soul.
Yeah, so, no, I didn't sleep, because the fucking dogs. Izzy has been kicking V in the face in the middle of the night, so... Since I didn't have to work today and she did, we flopped sides and we're in a king bed.
Who does so, that? I can't. The fact that you guys switch sleeping sides, that would be a no-go for me. I'd be like, yeah, sorry.
It was a no-go for me as well. It was bad. It was awful because we sleep on a king and we sleep with the top sheet. And so the top sheet is underneath the dogs that sleep on the bed. And then also... V sleeps with it on, and I have to sleep with it like half and half, which is why I usually sleep with the edge of it. But this time I was like stuck either having it all on or all off, and I was not happy because we couldn't have the AC on last night because it was raining. So we don't want to cause an electrical fire. So I was either cold or sweating. And then Isabella woke us up at 3 o'clock in the morning because she decided that it was time to be up. And then she went back to bed. And then she woke up at 5 and decided like, yep, I need to be out now. And so I let her out. I fed the cats because they were screaming for God knows what reason. So I fed them and I went to lay back down. And Isabella started whining because she got kicked out of the bedroom. And I was like, you know what? Fuck you. You're staying out there. I'm not dealing with this shit. So then she's got this thing that grandma has taught her how to do. She scratches at doors when she wants to be let in or let out. So that's real fun. We're trying to teach her to not do that. Because she's destroying the fucking door frames. So she did that.
It sounds like you're having a great time.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. So she was pawing at the door this morning from 5 o'clock till 7 when V left for work, or was like got up for work and was out and about and let the dogs outside. And then I just read. I was just reading. I just when I woke up to let like Izzy out and take care of the cats, we finally switched sides. So I went to bed and like actually slept from about 7:45 till 9:30-ish. I'm not a happy camper today.
Oh, I understand. Since Umbercell got neutered, he has been worse than normal. And I say worse, he's a great dog for anybody who doesn't know him personally. He's a really good dog. Like, he's friendly and he's very sweet, but like goddamn, it's too hot for the amount of energy that he has, and we have too little space in the house for him to expend it indoors. And so he has just been an absolute nightmare. He's been acting out lately. He's been peeing inside, which I tell people all the time, like, if he poops inside, like, no big deal. We just clean it up and move on with our day. Like, it's an easy cleanup. This is a big dog. And when he pees inside, it's not like at work where I can just bring a hose in and spray it down a drain and dry it off. No, it doesn't work like that in a house. I think we all know that. This fucking bastard, every fucking night, like literally the other night, I took him out at like between like 8 and 9 before I went to bed, and he peed for sure. And then Chris took him out at like 2 in the morning because he stayed up playing games. And then by the time I got up at 5 in the morning, he peed in like in the kitchen. And I was like, what is wrong with you? Oh, last week I had to clean up his pee at like 3:30 in the morning when I stepped in it unknowingly.
Oh, that's the worst.
It's been like, yeah, he's done it like four times or so in the last week. And it's not like a medical issue. Like, he doesn't have a UTI. I think he's just acting out. Like, I think he's just got so much like energy that he doesn't know what to do. And acting out gets him attention and something. You know what I mean? Like, when you do dumb shit because you're bored.
Yeah. Do you think perhaps that he is now incontinent? What is it when you can't control your bladder?
No, he is not incontinent because he fully is controlling where he's going.
Okay. He's placing it well.
Yeah, like if he was incontinent, he'd just be peeing all over himself. No, I think it's just acting out. I really do. But yesterday, so we're very lucky at my job. We got a doggy treadmill, and these things are actually really awesome. It's not electric. Well, it's technically, it's got like some electrical components, but it doesn't move like mechanically. The dog mm-hmm. is what controls the movement. And I was going to sign him up for Run Buddy, but Run Buddy is really expensive. It's $45 for a 30-minute session, and I can't afford to do that multiple times a month. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of money. And so when I could just bring him to work and do it at work. So
yeah.
I've decided that Tuesdays and Fridays, when I leave work, I'm going to come home, pick him up, bring him back to work, and give him some treadmill time, and maybe take him to the splash pad and do that. And that actually, it seemed to work really nicely. Somebody has also recommended maybe melatonin to help him kind of settle better at night, because at night he's just been awful lately. I think him being on medication for a week or so probably screwed up his sleeping schedule too, so he's been like, up at weird hours.
I gotta make up for lost time with shenanigans.
Literally, that's what it feels like. He's been driving us up a fucking wall. But today's been actually really good. He's been really easygoing. He hasn't been super crazy. So hopefully it stays that way and I don't rip my hair out.
Let's hope.
Yeah, we're going to hope.
Izzy's been acting out as well.
God, it's just like, it's just too hot for him to be able to go out. He's too reactive to go to parks and shit. I mean, at least Izzy has Ringo to actually play with, because mm-hmm. Sadie and him, I don't trust them playing together. It's too small of a space.
That's fair. Yeah. We actually have a space to just, when she's driving us up a wall, just put him outside. Go fuck with your brother.
Yeah, so you can do that here. But that's okay. The rest of the week was pretty decent. The check engine light on my car actually, like, turned off.
Ooh.
Might be good. Yeah. No, we're gonna say good.
Okay.
I grew some cat grass with my boss, and we're both very excited about that. I walked up and I showed her the cat grass that had grown, and she's like, we're mountain men now.
I think we're going to do that because the cats have been eating Tori's plants, and she's not a happy camper.
You should. So speaking of, ew, don't call her that. I know her as V. That is the only thing you're allowed to call her.
V. Ew.
Speaking of V though, so yesterday I was having a little bit of a rough morning. It was a rough start to the day. It got better because, you know, my check engine light came off. I was able to leash and unleash a dog by hand who's been who's been working through some challenges, and I was really excited about it. You know, so in general, like, the day started improving, but I went and got coffee for everybody. And on my way back, there's this psychic bookstore literally right across the street from the Dutch Bros that I go to. And I've kind of wanted to stop in. Well, I was like, you know what? I need it today. Like, I'm gonna stop in real quick. I got the coffee in the car, so I'll just run in, see what they got, and run out. And you know what? It was so nice in there, and it's huge, and they have a good collection of stones.
Ooh, really?
You know, yeah, Allie walked out with a couple new stones. I got, dude, they had leopard print jasper. They had Dalmatian jasper, I think is what it's called. They had, like, all sorts of really unique crystals and stones. They had books galore. They actually do, like, have mediums and psychics on site to do readings. They have an aura photo booth. Jewelry, like, they have a ton of really cool stuff. And I literally just kind of, like, ran through the store really quick, picked out some crystals that I didn't have any of, and, like, some chime candles, and went on my way. But, like, oh, it was awesome there. So next time you guys are here, we'll have to go.
Fuck yeah, I'm so down for that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool in there.
I really want to try that aura photography. I just haven't been willing to drop the money on it.
I don't know how much theirs is, so if I go in again, I will find out and let you know.
Cool. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah. And, oh, I do have news.
Tell me.
We're gaining a roommate.
I thought you guys just lost one.
Yeah, they're actually, like, living in the house, though, this one.
Why?
Because her little cousin just got offered a job down here and can't find a place because school just started.
Oh. Is this a good thing or, like, a...
I mean, I'm not the happiest about it. I've really enjoyed having my own space. I've never, like, not had my own space. I mean, I've, like, never, like, just had my space, you know?
Yes. No, I do understand.
I've never had that. I've never really had that. So I just kind of liked living this lifestyle. But I think it'll be nice. She's only going to be here for, like, 9 months max. Not even a full year. It'll go by quick. The only thing I'm worried about is Christmas.
Why?
Because we had it with, like, how we were going to do it is we were going to put the grandmas in the house, you know? And then if she's here for Christmas, that's one less room that we have available.
Right.
I don't really know how that's going to work because we're hosting Christmas. Have I invited you to that yet?
No, but I think you and I both know that I won't be there.
I know, but it's...
I love you, but I appreciate the invitation.
I'm going to say, the invitation is always standing. It's Harry Potter themed.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That does sound like an amazing time. I probably will not be taking time off for Christmas because I'm taking time off in November.
Yeah, I'm super fucking pumped. So working retail is nice. I get, like, a week off for Christmas.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I don't know exactly how it's going to pan out, but I'm excited. I've never had that.
Yeah, that is really nice. Speaking of, so we have firmly decided that we are going to be getting married the day before we leave.
Okay. Cool. We and V are trying to figure it out. Are you down? Do you know what time the courthouse closes?
No, but I can find out and we can schedule it to be, like, right before it closes.
Yeah, because V has class on Wednesday until 3:30. Because at first I thought it was going to be, like, oh, we're going to have to, like, get her somewhere so she can do class or whatever. Or she's going to have to miss a class because I thought she was going to have class on Thursday.
Right.
But she has class on Wednesday once the semester starts and work on Thursday. So she's going to ask for...
I thought she was going to have fall break at that point.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know exactly what her spring break is or her fall break.
Got you.
We can find out. I'm not going to sit here and wait because then I'm going to forget. CCC school schedule. So, or through the 28th, but that's fine because it's just going to be the Wednesday class that she has. We have to worry about because we're coming back on the 21st, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. So then she'll have class on Monday. Okay.
So anyways, we'll figure it out later. So nothing else important happened in our weeks. Let's get into this episode.
Cool. Now that we've wasted half an hour.
Literally. I mean, you know, when you don't talk for a week at a time, you gotta
get everything
fill all
out.
That back in. Yeah, yeah, you gotta get it out, get it in, upside inside out, living La Vida Loca. Let's do it.
Hi guys, I'm Liz.
And I'm Allie.
And welcome to That Shit Is Fucked.
AKA TSIF. If it's weird, spooky, creepy, or just fucked up, we're gonna talk about it.
So if you're the fucked up shit like we are, strap on in and we'll take you for a ride.
Buckle up, motherfuckers.
You didn't happen to listen to last week's episode, did you?
Do I literally ever? I don't know why you're asking me this. What happened now?
Because I did a new thing.
Oh, fuck. Hold on. Don't tell me. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Also. We can pause for the fuck of it reasons. Anyways, okay, so
I love it. I think we've got that was great. See, when you do stuff like that, then you can tell me and I'll listen to it. I just never want to listen to the whole episode. I was here. I don't want to listen to it.
Yeah, no, I already know what happened. I heard it.
Oh,
already.
Hold on. Oh my God, my volume. Okay, I'm so sorry. I don't know what the fuck just happened. My volume just went like to the top, all the way to the top. Yeah. And I don't know if it was because I was talking quietly and then it just wasn't ready to adjust it back down. But you're going to see some blowout. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I heard it. I heard the blowout. It got loud.
I'm so sorry. I don't know why it did that.
I don't either. It's fine. But yeah, that's what I did.
I love like, it. Oh that was God. Beautiful.
Thank you.
That
Thank
was
you.
Hilarious. And I appreciate that. So, yes.
So we have a sound for the pause for the fuck of it reasons. And then I think
ooh,
I found.
Ooh, I know what I want. Oh.
No, go ahead. What do you want for existential crisis?
How did it sound? Did it sound
it
good?
It sounded great. It sounded fantastic.
Are you just telling me that?
Nope.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
Are you ready?
All right. So I'm so ready. What do you got? What do you got for us today? I'm really excited to hear your case.
Okay. Well, so it started off with the thing I found on Facebook that I was super excited about because they baited me into it. Was actually not a true crime case. It was some guy who got trapped in a fallen cave. So it's pretty clear cut. Instead, I'm still delivering on a true crime case.
Oh, okay.
But a different one.
Let's hear it.
So today we're talking about it's unsolved. Spoiler alert.
Why would you just spoil it like that?
Because I just wanted you to be prepared with your own types of theories.
Well, you know we love a good theory.
We do. Okay. So, born February 8th in 1969 in Belen, New Mexico, Tara Calico was enthusiastic and a very extroverted girl. She had graduated high school and was going to college. She seemed to have a great relationship with her family and friends, and one day would change all of that. On September 20th.
And then the Fire Nation attack.
Precisely. Ruined everything.
You're welcome.
On September 20th, 1988, Tara, 19 at the time, left home to go for a bike ride. She did this just about every day. She usually went with her mother, but this time her mother didn't go because she was nervous. Because last time they went out, she thought there was a motorcyclist following them. So she was like, nah, that's shady. I don't really want to go. But if you're going to go, I'm not going to tell you not to go, but if you're going to go, take Mace with you.
Okay. I don't know why, but in my head for a second, Mace, like, I thought Mace was a person, and then I was like, that's not a people name. That's a product.
That's a product. It, you know, it comes in a spray can. You use it against people.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I'm from the South, and I could picture Mace being a name for a little
boy. I 100% guarantee that Mace is a name.
Come here, little Mace. Come here, Mace. Come on. So she brought her little brother Mace with her.
She did not. She said, fuck Mace.
Oh, God damn it. Okay. All right.
According to her mother, Tara went on bike rides frequently and always took the same route. It was about an hour bike ride, but apparently she had been having bike troubles, mm-hmm. so she expected it to take her a little longer. So she went out that Tuesday morning at 9:30 a.m., and she asked her mother to come pick her up if she was not back by noon. She had plans with her boyfriend.
How old did she say she was again?
19.
Okay, thank you. Oh, jeez. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, sorry. Yeah. I don't know why that went over my head, but okay. I was picturing a little bit younger for some reason, even though you probably already said how old she was.
That's A-okay. She asked her mother to come pick her up if she was not back by noon. She had plans with her boyfriend to play tennis at 12:30, and then she had to be to class by 3:30, and she didn't want to be late. And with that, she left, and she took her mother's bright pink bike because hers had a flat tire.
Okay.
When noon rolled around and Tara had not returned, her mother went out to follow her usual trail to pick her up, like Tara had asked. When her mother couldn't find her, though, she immediately contacted the police. Sheriff Lawrence Romero. Sharon's. Yep, that's it. Claimed he suspected foul play right off the bat, since according to her friends and family, she was not the type to just go missing. Like, she wasn't gonna run off, or she didn't like do wild things. She was very like tame. Stuck to a schedule. Yeah, she's tame, and her mother said she always had every day full, so she had a schedule that she had to stick to.
Could you imagine? I mean, I kind of can, but goddamn,
that sounds awful.
You can't get a break. It is yeah. awful. It is awful.
I guess for extroverted people, being out and about doesn't, like, with friends, doesn't really count as a task, but so, that's their for free us, time.
For us neurodivergent people, that is also a task. A fun task, but a task.
Still as exhausting. So they immediately issued a missing persons, and the next day, or they went to investigate the area. The next day, they found the bike tire marks, which led off of she rode her bike on a highway.
Right.
And so I guess they found tire marks that led off of the highway into the dirt. And there was also, like, where the bike tracks stopped, there was also tire tracks and an oil slick. So someone's got an oil leak.
Okay. All right.
I don't know what that has to do with anything, because this is New Mexico. I feel like a lot of people just pull off the road. Like, if it's they're on a highway, how many fucking tire marks with oil slicks are there gonna be?
I mean, I don't know. That's it seems like a little bit like it'd be right. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Please take all of those noises out. I just had an aneurysm. Fuck.
Fine.
Anyways, what I was trying to express was that I feel like I would rather them, like, overshare that information than undershare it. Because, I mean, it could still be relevant
if somebody, like,
hit her and then pulled off. And I don't know. Anyways, you're the storyteller here. I'm making assumptions.
Well, they also had found her cassette tape that she was listening to and the front window of her Walkman.
Aww.
As far as I could understand, I didn't say where it was found, but as far as I can understand, it was not there, like where her tire tracks were that they found it. So I'm not sure exactly where they found her cassette tape.
Okay, so then that's weird.
Yeah, they found that on the ground, and then the rest of the Walkman was discovered about 20 miles away near the entrance of a remote campground on September 24th. So that's 4 days after she's officially been declared missing. Her mother believes that this was an attempt to leave a trail.
Oh.
Like, this was Tara's attempt to leave a trail with what she had.
Okay. All right. That's smart.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like as a 19-year-old, you know, a young girl.
A young lass, if you will. So the police began to gather witnesses. 7 people claimed to have seen Tara on her bright pink bike. I've just made that very prominent because it's like a neon pink fucking bike, right? Like, this thing is noticeable. It's not like every other basic ass bike. It's bright pink.
No, for sure. Absolutely. And it's an adult sized bright pink bike.
Bright pink bike.
Say that five times fast.
I will not even attempt it once. So seven bright people claim to have seen Tara.
Bright pink bike. Nope, can't do it.
Adult size bright pink bike.
Adult size bright pink bike. Adult size bright pink bike. Adult size bright pink bike. Adult size bright pink bike. Adult size bright pink bike. Did I get it? I think I got it.
You said pike. Is that four or five? Last one? But you said it six times, so it's fine.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Anyways, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So seven people claim to have seen her, five of which claim that there was a pickup truck that was following her.
See, oil slick pickup truck.
Mm-hmm. According to them, the truck had been a white or an off-white 50s to 60s Ford pickup. And mm-hmm. one witness claims to have seen, I'm sorry, wow, to have saw two people.
Wait, to have seen two people. That's correct.
Is it?
Yeah. He claimed okay, to have seen.
Cool. To have seen two people in the pickup, and the sheriff claimed this made the most sense since Tara was in excellent physical shape and it would most likely would have taken two people to subdue her. The one witness who saw the people.
There's no footprints though, right?
Is no.
That's weird just to me that there wouldn't be any footprints, but there would be enough for a tire mark?
Yeah. It is weird. The one witness who saw the people in the truck claims that the driver was a white male who appeared to be between 35 and 45 years old. He had reddish brown hair, looked like he could have been between 5'9 to 6 feet. He was sitting down, so I imagine that was very hard to wager. And weighing, they said more specifically, but around 200 pounds.
Okay.
But that was the last evidence that they would have for a while. Was
really?
Just that report. Mm-hmm. That one witness report. 9 months later, like a whole ass baby later, on June 15th, 1989.
A whole ass baby later. Great description. I thank you for that.
You're welcome. On June 15th, 1989, and about 1,500 miles away in Port St. Joe. Yeah.
What?
So yeah, 1,500 miles away in Port St. Joe, Florida, a woman found a Polaroid in the parking lot of a convenience store.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not a body.
I'm so sorry.
A Polaroid
that
picture.
Just was not. I know that was not the direction I was expecting it to take. So that's interesting. I'm so sorry. And my internet is super crazy fucked up, so it keeps like cutting you off in funny spots. So I think you're not talking. So I'm so sorry.
No, you're A-okay. The woman claims there was a white Toyota van parked there when she went into the store. And when she came out, the van was gone, but there was a Polaroid in its spot.
That's weird.
Yeah, and we'll put all these up on the gram so you guys can see them. The the photo showed a young girl and boy with duct tape over their mouth and what looked like the back of a van.
No.
Yeah, the police put up a roadblock to intercept the driver, but were unsuccessful. I have some things to say about it, but I'm going to finish this real quick. The photo was put on the news, and some of Tara's relatives saw the picture and phoned Patty, who was Tara's mother. Patty looked at the photo and wasn't sure if it was Tara or not, but the more she looked at it, she said, the more certain she became. She said that there was a discoloration on the girl's leg in the photo that matches a scar that Tara had from a car accident when she was younger. But who was the boy in the photograph?
Can you just say the young man? Can you do that?
Well, that makes him seem like he's older. He was literally like a child.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so he's like a little boy. Okay.
He's like
a
little
boy. Can you say like little boy?
Well, that makes him sound young. He was like
the adolescent child. The child? Can you say the child? The male child?
The male child. The 8 to 10 year old male child in the photograph was suspected to have been Michael Henley, who had vanished also from New Mexico in April of 1988, the same year Tara had gone missing, during a hunting trip with his father. Wait. But this story isn't about Michael, so I'm just going to tell you what happens right now. Michael's body was found in June of 1990, about 7 miles away from his family's campsite.
Oh, shit.
His cause of death was ruled as exposure and dehydration.
Oh, that's terrible.
They don't suspect foul play. They think he just got lost.
Well, then why was he in that picture?
They weren't for sure-sies. This is a 1988 Polaroid camera. How quality do you think these pictures are?
Fair point.
They're vague. They're very vague. He looks like white boy.
So they didn't determine that that was actually him.
No, it's just who it was suspected to be.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Understood.
What happened to Tara Calico, though?
I would like to know.
Well, the internet did digging, as it does, and that the photo was actually staged and not Tara Calico. According to the photo given to the police by her family and the Polaroid, the facial features don't match, though the girls do look similar, it's not Tara. There is one guy who went as far to write a blog about it saying that the picture itself was staged. Nobody actually uses duct tapes for realsies kidnapping victims because it is not a very viable gag. Like, a victim can get it off in literally 2 seconds.
Yes, it's that's 100% true. I guess that makes a lot of sense.
And there is a point proven that the kids don't have their feet tied, but their hands are quote-unquote tied. But you can't see any type of rope or anything because their hands are behind their backs.
Okay, so basically the picture they found was a hoax.
Basically is what I'm thinking. I don't know if it was just some sick joke or what, but yes. And then they even went as far to... This is what was kind of weird, though. I mean, I guess it could be coincidence, but it is a rather odd fact. There is a book next to the girl in the picture who is one of Tara's favorite authors, which I guess is not...
Do you know who the author is?
I do, but I don't have it written. I can find out for you.
No, I mean, you don't have to. I didn't know if it was maybe like a really popular author that like...
It was nobody that I had heard of. Yeah, but that doesn't mean much coming from me. I don't know who anybody is.
That's not true.
I know who you are. That's all I'm for sure about.
Yes.
So they figured that like the whole photograph was a hoax. It was just a joke or some other kids had been kidnapped. Like, it wasn't Tara Calico.
Okay.
The case died down for many years until in 2008 when Sheriff Rene Riviera announced that he knew what happened to Tara Calico.
Excuse me?
And this is a quote from the website that I got it from, which is listed in the show notes. But so, quote, according to him, four boys who knew Tara accidentally hit her with their pickup truck while she was biking along New Mexico NM Highway 47, threw her and the bicycle in the back of their truck and took her to a gravel pit. When she threatened to make sure they all went to jail, they killed her and disposed of the bicycle in an undisclosed junkyard. It was sort of an open secret that they murdered Tara, and their parents aided in the cover-up, but without Tara's body. He said he could not press charges against anyone since they didn't have Tara's body.
Okay, that just seems a little suspicious to me. That seems weird.
You know what it feels like? It feels like, what case was it where they came out and were like, yeah, we know what happened, but we're never going to tell you. We figured it out.
Oh,
but we're not going to tell you.
Wasn't that, oh, shit. Hold on. Oh, it was like one of the first cases we did.
Yeah.
It was the one you told me to do. Fuck, why can't I remember their name? It was that whole family that got axe murdered. And some German police forensic scientist people, this is the abridged version, said they figured out who did it, but that it wasn't worth pursuing because they were dead and da da da. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
It was like something.
Yeah, the Hinterkaifeck.
Hinterkaifeck. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Look at us working it. So if anybody would like to know how our brains get from point A to B, that is a prime example.
Yeah, so that's what it reminded me of, right? Like, he's like, yeah, I know who did it, but I can't really press charges. So I figured it out.
I love our fucking justice system.
Yeah. So Tara's stepfather was absolutely fucking furious at this, as he should have been. Like, why would he make a public announcement if he wasn't going to follow through with pressing charges? Why would he say that if he wasn't going to do anything about it?
Yeah, that's super fucked up. Like, if you don't want to say anything about it, I mean, that's still fucked up, but fine. Mm-hmm. But don't fucking announce it. That's like those people who are like, I know a secret, but I can't tell you.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. It's like a form of narcissism or some shit because, mm-hmm. yeah, no, that's just awful.
Bro.
There have been more Polaroids that have surfaced. Two of them were of a little boy, but two more Polaroids came from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And they're also iffy. They could have been Tara Calico. One is a blurry picture of a girl with tape over her mouth.
Okay.
The other one is a girl bound and gagged sitting next to a man on an Amtrak train. Both of those will also be posted on the gram. I personally, the one with just the girl with the tape over her mouth, I guess could have been. The one that's on the train, I don't think is, and is actually very disturbing because they're on a public train and I don't understand what's happening.
Also, here's my thing.
Very uncomfortable.
Well, okay, what gets me though is like I haven't seen the Polaroids yet, and I know I'll see them. You can send them over to me if you want and I can post them up there. But it's a little off to me that the sheriff says like, oh, we know what happened, this is what happened. That contradicts the idea of her having Polaroids and photos taken of her, mm-hmm. like gagged. So like it's like if the Polaroids are untrue and are just, you know, scams, whatever you want to call them, then it would kind of lend a little bit more credence to maybe what the sheriff was saying. Whereas if those Polaroids are to be believed for what they are, and they are her, it kind of blows he's saying completely out of the water.
It does, yeah. The whole thing is just very shady to me.
Mm-hmm.
So the case got technically reopened in 2013 because they were working on doing a documentary about Tara, but really? It seems to be in limbo. They haven't really heard anything else about it.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah. So it's been 33 years since Tara Calico's disappearance. It seems like it will go unsolved. So, of course, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just saying that, like, I think it's really interesting to consider the fact that, like, this happened in the 80s, but, like, mm-hmm. it's still been, you know, reinvestigated and opened. I mean, it's a real bummer that we couldn't get any further or get more information.
Yeah. Well, speaking of any information, if you have any information regarding the disappearance of Tara Calico, please call the Valencia County Sheriff's Department or the Bellin Sheriff's Department. You can do so anonymously.
Thank you for putting that out there.
I gotta go make a phone call.
Yeah, right? I'll be back. I have thoughts.
So there was one website that was kind of shady because, I don't know, it was weird. But they had several theories. One of them was that Tara left and, like, ran away with her boyfriend. But then like, why the fuck would she ruin a perfectly good Walkman just to run away with her boyfriend?
Yeah, that seems a lot like a lot of setting up.
Yeah, just to run away. The second theory was that her boyfriend kidnapped her. But from what it seems, like, her parents loved him. Like, they had a very open relationship. There wasn't any type of rejection that was happening. So there was no point.
Well, and if he kidnapped her, then he wouldn't. I feel like they would know. I feel like that's just not.
Yeah, like, that's kind of weird. The two theories that really gained traction is that somebody kidnapped her. She was a very beautiful young lady. It could have just been a random pickup. She drove the same trail she rode the same trail almost every morning. It wouldn't have been that hard for somebody to track her and mm-hmm. go and pick her up. To spot her, like her, and pick her up.
It was just like, it was broad daylight though.
It was, yeah. That's the other scary part, is this happened in broad daylight on a highway. So there's that. And with the paranoia of her mother saying that she felt like someone was following them on the motorcycle, like, that just kind of adds to that theory. The other one that kind of gained some traction was that it was a hit and run, basically, like somebody accidentally hit her while they were driving on the road, and instead of calling an ambulance or facing repercussions, they put her and the bike in the back of their truck and buried her somewhere.
So my only thing with that is I feel like there would be blood at the scene.
Exactly, yeah. That one I don't really know that I believe, because I feel like there would be more evidence, like bike parts, if she got hit, or, you know, like like some sort of an accident.
Yeah, and I mean, not only that, but I feel like, so the idea of the motorcycle one, that one kind of piqued my interest, because when you think about it, right, most people who own motorcycles own a different vehicle.
Yeah,
I wouldn't find it unlikely that a man who owns a motorcycle might own a truck as well, you know, the whole spectrum of vehicle sizes, and from largest to smallest. And when you think about it, if somebody's like trying to scope somebody out, a motorcycle is not a bad way to do that.
It's really not. And they would have been able to follow her on her bike trail pretty much the entire way, because where a bike can go, a motorcycle can go.
Yeah.
So,
and then of course, you know, if she's using the same trail every day, they show up in their car and kabam.
Pick her up.
Yeah.
That's the one I think like happened, like the most likely to happen. And it was just like, not to say random, like it's not like it was random, but they didn't know her personally. It's not someone she knew.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Yeah, like she's a very pretty and athletic looking young woman. She was 19. It's not out of the realm that some creeper saw her and liked her and picked her up.
There are so many creeps. Always bring mace.
Always bring mace. Can I tell you, like, I can't imagine, like, the guilt that her mother must have had. Her mom listed her, she died in 2009, and listed her as one of her surviving relatives.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. They believe that she's still alive.
Oh, that hurts my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, that really hurts my heart.
Mm-hmm. So, very sad. We're just living in a crazy world.
That's awful. Well, hopefully, you know, one day we can get some answers to this and that, you know, she can be put to rest properly. It's really sad, honestly, when you think about it. I mean, to just never get to know, and the fact that her mom passed away before she was ever able to get answers. Ugh.
Yeah, I think her only surviving relative right now is her stepdad.
Oh.
And her, I lied, she had a little sister. Yeah, like, aww, a half sister.
That makes me sad. That makes me so sad.
Yeah, so that's the case of Tara Calico.
Thank you. I mean, that was a really intriguing case. I'm sad now, but
yeah,
intrigued.
I'm not gonna lie, when I first saw it, I thought her first name was Calico, and that got me intrigued right away, because I was like, who the fuck names their kid Calico?
That's an accurate thought pattern to have.
Someone who really likes cats.
Yes. So I was thinking this week, maybe we do a little something different than a game or any of those.
Okay.
I want to do a quick little like podcast recommendation.
Ooh, okay.
So I've been listening to some new podcasts. And a couple of them I've already talked about, like the Ron Burgundy podcast. I think that one's a really fun one, and it doesn't have a ton of episodes, so it's easy to catch up on. But I've also been listening to this podcast called This Is Actually Happening.
Mm.
And it's a really, like, you can get really wrapped up in this podcast. So basically, each episode is a different person telling some sort of, like, retelling a tragic or impactful event that, like, shaped them or how it affected their life, like, and it's different people every episode. One of them was a man who was held captive for like at least a year and treated as like a BDSM slave.
Oh wow.
And it was his experience and how that affected him. Another one that I've listened to is a woman who lost her son tragically by being hit by a lightning bolt. So it's just like, it's a huge range of topics. And it's different people, everyone. There's tons of episodes. I've just been kind of listening through the library of them. And it's just, it's so good.
That sounds very interesting. And you said this is really happening, or what? What is it called?
This Is Actually Happening. I think it's a Wondery podcast. And I've listened to Wondery podcasts before. Dr. Death is another great podcast. They're making a TV show about the first season, and I absolutely loved the first season of this. It's about a doctor. The first season is Dr. Dunch, I think, and it's a whole big mess of lies and deceit and malpractice. They just came out with another season, but I listened on Spotify. Apparently, the new season can be found on, like, Amazon Music Plus or something, or Amazon Music. I might have that if I have a Prime account, so I'll check it out. But the newest season is a whole different doctor. And then Ron Stat. For anybody who watches Good Mythical Morning or any of the Mythical crew, Liz and I are big fans of them. They, Rhett and Link, are in a podcast called Ronstadt, and it's like a scripted podcast, and it's got like, it's like modern day fairy tale kind of stuff. And that one's really interesting. It's got lots of neat sound effects, and it's Rhett and Link. I mean, Rhett's the star.
Gotta love Rhett and Link. Of course he is.
Yes, and just so all of you know, Liz and I have decided that I am Rhett and she is Link.
Mm-hmm. It's a thing.
It is a thing.
I bet you I could get my hair to look like Link's.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think I could get my hair to look like Rhett.
Maybe with some physical effort. Maybe. Since we're recommending podcasts.
Chris just came in the house and it scared the fucking shit out of me. Whoo! Because I have my headphones in, so I really couldn't hear anything. And then the dogs got up and I was just kind of staring over there and I heard like jingling. Whoo! Sheesh, as the kids are saying.
Well, since we're hello Chris and since we're recommending podcasts, I have started listening one called the Magnus Archives.
Oh, I've listened to a couple episodes of that.
I love that. It's a fictional horror podcast. It's scripted and very good. Highly recommend. But it's not so much a podcast, but I've started kind of in a book club type dealio, and we're listening to The Devil in the White City, which is about H.H. Holmes and the architect Daniel Burnham.
Wait, why am I not invited into your book club?
Because I didn't start it. I just got asked to be part of it. I don't even know the person who started it.
Well, it's fine. I didn't want to anyways, but you should send me that podcast because I want to hear about it.
So it's not a podcast. It's an audiobook. It was like $13.
Oh, I might buy that. That sounds interesting enough. I'm sorry all this commotion is happening in my house now.
No, that's okay. We're almost done anyways.
Sorry, audience.
Well, on that note, I'm on chapter 3, so I'll update you as it goes. So far, I don't know how into it I am. It's a nonfiction book, so.
Now, keep me posted. Keep me posted.
I will. Well, on that note, send us fucking emails.
Tell us you love us in emails. Give us your thoughts. We want to hear them.
And look at the gram and respond every once in a while.
Yeah, so just so you guys know, our email is thetsifpodcast@gmail.com. Our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook are at thetsifpodcast. And then, of course, we have our Patreon and our Big Cartel shop, which are thetsifpodcast. Sorry, I had a minor aneurysm again. The TSIF podcast are on both of those platforms where we sell stickers and have Patreon stuff. Speaking of which, I will be getting postcards out soon, but we'll be holding one for someone. Well, two for two people. Anyways, those will be going out and I'll be doing the tarot cards. You might have them by the time this episode airs. And if you don't, you'll have them the following week. I promise.
Sayonara, podcast listeners.
Sayonara. Oh, hey. You know, if you're a new listener or a non-new listener, if you're a listener, you know, leave us a review on iTunes if you're that's what you're listening on.
If that's what you're into.
I'll stop talking now.
Good Lord.
Bye. Oh, Jesus. Okay.
I know.